that you can't find a different answer. We don't say God didn't create the universe or that it's wrong to believe that. We're saying science offers an answer, and it's the answer, a scientific type of answer. Science is based on observation and testing. Science is why we have the radio and all the other conveniences of modern life. It actually leads to something, and it's verifiable. It has tangible results. But then there's also the spiritual world, the world of thought, and if people wish to believe that there's something else beyond that, then we have nothing to say about that. We certainly wouldn't oppose that in the way that they oppose our saying that science also has an answer.
Mm-hmm. Let me follow up on the statement that you and Hawking make at the very beginning of your book, that the universe can and will create itself from nothing. This is the thing that, you know, for generations people thought, you know, you needed God for. You're saying that you can explain the spontaneous creation scientifically. How do you do that?
There are several elements in that explanation, but the one concept that's really very relevant to that, immediately relevant, is the concept of nothingness. So in quantum theory, nothingness is not existent the way you think of it, as that there's nothing there. From nothingness, things are constantly fluctuating in and out of existence. When you apply these ideas to the whole universe, you find that multiple universes appear from nothing, each with their own physical laws, their own different laws of nature, and that they appear spontaneously. And that's, I think, what is exciting people who would like to think that God created the universe instead. But anyway, that's a thumbnail explanation.
Well, I have to ask about Stephen Hawking's 1988 book, A Brief History of Time, which, of course, was an enormous bestseller. And he ends that book with a statement, "If we discover a complete theory, it would be the ultimate triumph of human reason, for then we should know the mind of God." Is it fair to say that Hawking is no longer interested in the mind of God?
Well, I think that physicists often speak of God in a metaphorical way. And, you know, at most what they mean when they talk that way quite often is some other, not necessarily the specific God of the Bible or the Quran or any particular God, but God as the embodiment of physical law, the way Einstein talked about God. Now, I'm not saying that Stephen was talking that way, but since you bring that up, I think that, you know, he's saying that if this was true, we would know the grand design is what he's saying. And he's saying, you know, what is the grand design? And in the last 20-some years since that book was written, actually, it was, I think, started in the early 80s, so it's been 25 years, his thinking has evolved. And in the new book, we explain why the laws of nature are what they are, and we talk about the many histories, multiple histories of the universe existing simultaneously. And I think we go to a more definitive statement that there's that God isn't necessary for these answers.
Mm-hmm. Let me follow up on this idea of multiple universes, or what's sometimes called the multiverse. Other people have talked about parallel universes. I know there are sort of different ways that these theories can play out. Are you saying there are many different versions, perhaps infinite numbers of versions of me roaming around in different universes, each split off in different quantum realities?
Not quite. There are infinitely many different universes. The universe exists in many different guises or many different superposition of different histories. That's what you get from applying quantum theory to the universe. But of course, you have been observed, you have been measured. So a universe where you have four arms is not a possibility. That can be eliminated from the fact that we know that you have two arms. So the measurements and the observations that occur, the interactions that occur in the present, prune out of all these histories which ones are possible, and they define that final point.
So you're not saying, for instance, that if I made a different choice, I don't know, 20-some years ago and, you know, didn't marry my wife and have the two children that I have now, that I'd be living in a different reality and I might have, I don't know, four children with a different wife. I mean, you're not sort of laying out that as a conceivable scenario that, you know, this other me might exist in a different universe. That's not what you're talking about.
No, that's a separate issue from the multiverse issue. And the multiverse issue says that when the universe was formed, many universes were formed, and, you know, all with different laws. Some of them were very different than ours, and some of them are very similar to ours. So, you know, one could speculate, if one wanted to take this into slightly into the speculative or science fiction realm, that this means that other universes exist where what you said is true and you're made different life choices. And
there are people, you know, physicists who've made that argument. I mean, that's sort of the parallel universe.
Well, I think you're talking about the many worlds interpretation of quantum theory, which is a slightly different... Mm-hmm.